Last week on CBS TV's 60 Minutes 2, correspondent Dan Rather presented documents he said were written by President George Bush's commanding officer, Colonel James Killian, that call into question the president's record with the National Guard. Since then, the authenticity of the documents has been called into question. Rather and the president of CBS News said they stood behind the authenticity of the documents. Then last night, that certainty began to waver. A 60 Minutes 2 interview with Marion Carr Knox, Colonel Killian's former secretary, said she believes the documents are fake. Rather concluded the interview last night with this personal statement.
We shall continue to aggressively investigate the story of President Bush's service in the National Guard and the story of the documents and memos in Colonel Killian's file. Are those documents authentic, as experts consulted by CBS News continue to maintain, or were they forgeries or recreations, as Marion Carr Knox and others believe? We will keep an open mind, and we will continue to report credible evidence and responsible points of view as we try to answer the questions raised about the authenticity of the documents.
To bring us up to speed on this complicated story and to talk about some of the ethical issues of investigative journalism, Robert Steele joins us now. He's director of the ethics program at the Poynter Institute of Journalism. He's with us by phone from the campus of DePaul University in Greencastle, Indiana. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Neil.
Let's go back to last week. What do these documents say about what now President Bush did when he was a Lieutenant Bush in the National Guard?
Well, CBS used the documents to make the case that President Bush, when he was in the National Guard back in the early 70s, had not measured up appropriately to the requirements that were expected of him, and that there was evidence indicating that he was receiving some form of favorable treatment.
Now, when did the first questions emerge about the authenticity of the documents, and what seems fake about them?
My understanding is that the first questions were raised by bloggers, one, and then a second individual who questioned whether the documents were valid, whether they were authentic, and these bloggers raised the questions by posting in a way in which their voice was clearly heard by a number of individuals originally, and it carried enough weight that other news organizations looked into the allegations, and some of those news organizations examined the evidence and also believed that the documents were either forgeries or were not legitimate.
And the questions, as I understand it, involve whether the typeface in which the letters were typed was existing at the time. This was back in the days of electric typewriters, and they say those questioning the authenticity say this is a typeface that is characteristic of personal computers.
That is part of the debate, and you can find a handful of experts who, on different sides of this particular issue, who will either support CBS's position or challenge it.
Now, there seem to be really two stories here, and one is a question about the authenticity of the documents that CBS News used as part of its story on Lieutenant Bush's record in the National Guard. But the other is other documents and other allegations that have emerged in recent weeks, and new documents that still may yet emerge about what Lieutenant Bush did in the National Guard.
That's correct. Other news organizations, including the Boston Globe and the Associated Press, have reported on these documents, additional documents, as you point out, that raise questions about whether President Bush, then Lieutenant Bush, was measuring up to the responsibilities during that period and whether there was any undue influence exerted by others that might have kept him from being in a position where he was either in difficulty with his guard responsibilities or perhaps jeopardized in some way in terms of not fulfilling those responsibilities and then receiving some sort of disciplinary action.
We're talking about the controversy about President Bush's record in the National Guard and documents provided by or publicized by CBS News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Bob Steele, as you look into this, CBS says it's investigating these documents. What do you think the network should be doing at this point with respect to these documents? Obviously, they believe them to be genuine when they went forward with this broadcast.
Well, the key here is that CBS must not just defend their reporting, they must justify their work, both the process of what they did in terms of reporting and the end product. To justify means that they must re-examine their methods and the evidence, they must appropriately and fully explain their decision-making process, and if necessary, they must fully and publicly correct anything that was wrong. That's a matter of accountability. The challenges to CBS have increased significantly in number and in substance in recent days, and CBS has this obligation while at the same time continuing to report the original story and advance it as necessary to do an internal an examination of their work and see if it measured up to the highest degrees of professionalism and ethical standards.
Now, a part of this controversy involves a source. Somebody sent these documents to CBS News or provided them to CBS News. CBS News has thus far been refused to identify the person who gave them these materials. If they turn out to be forgeries, what are we going to do then?
Well, it depends on the nature of the contractual agreement between the CBS personnel, their journalists, and that source. If a promise has been made to that source to protect his or her confidentiality or their confidentiality, if there's more than one individual, then CBS must honor that contract legally and ethically. If they violate that contract and reveal the person or person's names, then they run legal risks and they can be ethically challenged for revealing. They quite possibly have themselves in a corner in this particular situation. I don't know the ground rules that were existing between CBS and that particular source. I have no idea who the source is myself, of course. But it is symptomatic of one of the problems in American journalism in this day and age, that we too easily and too quickly give the protection of confidentiality to sources in order to get particular information. It may be very meaningful information in some cases, but once we create that contract, we do two things. One, we tie our hands in terms of being as fully transparent as we can with the public and should be with the public about the nature of the source, and we limit the accuracy of the story by leaving a key fact out.
But even if it turns out, and we don't know this, but if it turns out that these documents are forgeries, wouldn't that lift the obligation from CBS?
Only if in the confidentiality agreement they created a proviso that if the information was either false or if the source lied to them, then the agreement of protection of confidentiality was off. I always urge journalists to include that in any confidentiality agreement. Tell the source, if you're lying to me or if what you give me turns out to be false, deceptive, a forgery, then our protection does not exist and the source has to agree to that. If they didn't have that as part of it, then they could be in a very problematic legal situation.
Well, let's get a caller in. Danny joins us from Wichita, Kansas.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I really appreciate being able to listen to your show. It's been quite an eye-opener on a daily basis.
Well, thank you.
Basically, I've got a comment to throw into this mix.
And I'm going to have to ask you to keep it short because we're running out of time.
All right. I read an USA article yesterday, and in it, it stated that although the documents themselves were considered to be fake, that the information they contained was essentially correct. And this supposedly came from the secretary of the...
Yes, this is Marion Carr Knox, who said that though she didn't type the documents, she would have typed the documents, she thought, if the colonel had actually written them. But she said that's certainly the way they were talking about in the office about Lieutenant Bush. The information, she said, was accurate. Briefly, Bob Steele, that gets back to the two different stories, one about documents and whether they're accurate or fake or not, and the other about President Bush and his service.
Well, both issues are important. It's realistic and genuine to examine CBS and its methods. It's also realistic and genuine to continue to ask the specific questions about President Bush's service when he was a lieutenant in the National Guard. And I think it's very appropriate for CBS and any other news organization to continue to ask President Bush to personally hold himself accountable and to discuss what took place during that time period. That piece of information would be essential, and it holds him accountable in what is a fair way and gives him the opportunity to respond.
Danny, thanks very much for the phone call.
And it means a whole lot to me personally because I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Okay, thanks again, and we appreciate the call. Bob Steele, thanks for your time today.
Nice to talk with you, Neil.
Bob Steele of the Poynter Institute of Journalism. He joined us by phone from Greencastle, Indiana. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.